This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
All right, the debate last night was an absolute epic S show, and Democrats should be very, very worried today. The moderators are slammed today for letting this disaster go on, and there's so much to analyze. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here, the Zeoli Show. I live for days like today, as you know, and I love this job, especially on days like today. So thanks for being part of it. 855-839-1210, facebook.com/Zeoli Show, and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So let's see now. The key takeaways from the debate last night. Mike Bloomberg admitted that he bought the seats that gave Nancy Pelosi the speakership. That's number one. Number two, Joe Biden went on several crazy retirement Uncle Joe rants, yelling about how he did this and he did that. And Mike Bloomberg is the worst joke teller in America. Oh, and also Donald Trump, by far, has nothing to worry about with any of those people on the stage. I mean, nothing. He has nothing to worry about today. But let's understand a couple of things, first of all. Number one, according to Joe Biden, America has lost a lot of people, I mean, half the population by guns, by gun violence. A lot of people. This is more than any alien movie, more than any space movie, more than any Avengers movie. I don't even think Thanos snapping his fingers was able to accomplish this. Take a listen.
Drug companies. We give immunity to tobacco companies. That has caused carnage on our streets. 150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability. More than all the wars, including Vietnam, from that point on. Carnage on our street. And I want to tell you, if I'm elected and I'm coming.
Did you hear that? 150 million people. There's how many people in this country? 325 million?
Yeah.
So that's almost like half of our population. Almost half of us have been killed. Like, I saw, you remember the movie Avengers Endgame? I loved it. The finale of the Avengers movie. So after Thanos snapped his hands in Infinity War and literally half the population was gone, do you realize that in Joe Biden's mind, that's what's happened to our country right now? Half of the country's gone. How is that possible? Yes.
So just perspective, 1.4 million Americans died from firearms, including suicide, between 1968 to 2011.
All right. So that's less.
1.4 million.
I'm no math guy, but that's less than 150 million, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear it one more time, Greg, if we would.
I just have to move the decimal point.
Yeah, got
to drug companies. Drug companies. We give immunity to tobacco companies. That has caused carnage on our streets. 150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt.
Since 2007. Since 2007, half of America has been killed.
I mean,
by guns.
You think there would be more news stories about this if half the population since 2007 is gone?
Yeah, and if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, it's great because they focus on that period of time where 5 years later after the snap, and they go, "Where's everybody? Like, where'd everybody go?" It was like Philadelphia when the Pope came to visit. Nobody's there.
Exactly.
Then the Avengers have to go back in time and get the Infinity Stones to undo the snap to bring everybody back.
Don't do the spoiler.
All right, but I'm saying, Dawn, still less people died
yes.
as a result of Thanos' snap than Joe Biden's gun stats from 2007.
I mean, even you are a pretty big Second Amendment guy, a pretty big gun guy. Even you would say that if 150 million people were wiped out, you would probably say, you know what, maybe guns are not a
Yeah, excellent point, Greg Sacker. In fact, I want to make this promise. If half the country is dead by guns, I will rethink my position on the Second Amendment.
If in
12 years, half of the country is dead because of guns, I will, in fact, rethink my position on the Second Amendment. All right? Is that my solemn promise?
That's a great promise.
All right. It's the least I can do. It's the least I can do.
I'm trying to find out what stat
But he goes on with it. Like,
yeah,
it's not just like
stop.
He says it and moves on.
He brings up the Vietnam War. He brings up the bubonic plague.
The drug companies. We give immunity to tobacco companies. That has caused carnage on our streets. 150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability.
Bernie's Thanos.
Including Vietnam from that point on. Carnage on our street. And I want to tell you, if I'm elected and I'm
carnage
coming
carnage on
for
our
you,
streets. I remember this now. Carnage on our streets, more than Vietnam. Obviously, since we didn't lose close to 1.5 or 150 million people in Vietnam. Would you imagine if we did?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if in Vietnam we lost close to 150 million people? I like what world? This is why I say he's the drunk guy at his own retirement party, because he's just yelling stuff and they just let him go. They just let him go.
Yeah, there's no facts.
Nobody stops him. Nobody jumps in. Right. Joe doing his thing.
There's an estimate. One number is you know, it's a horrible number. 373,000. So about a third of a million.
Okay, so still not 150 million.
Don't try to find a way to help Joe Biden out here. I'm just trying to be proper.
I'm sorry. Dawn is an Emmy award winning. How many Emmys have you won?
About 13? 12.
12?
Yeah, 13,
okay. 12. I say, well, 150 million? Would you say you've won 150 million Emmys?
No. It feels
you
like
should
my
have.
Husband has, but I've not me. No, but I. So I'm just trying to look at where he. If somebody gave him a number? I don't know. But and the 373, which is a horrible number, includes accidental gun. You know, it includes a lot of suicides.
All right. Let me just jump in here, if I may, real quick.
Okay.
Please. So in math.
Yes.
150 million is greater than 370,000.
Yes.
It's the Pac-Man sign. Which one is the Pac-Man? Is it eating the lower number or?
Which one's greater?
How does it work? Again, I always forget. The bigger number eats the lower number, right? Is that how the Pac-Man works?
Yes.
All right. So 150 million is way bigger than 370,000.
Way bigger.
And also, I should mention, in a period of 12 years since Bernie killed everybody. Since Bernie snapped his fingers?
It's Bernie's fault.
I mean, with 150 million people dead, it's more than Vietnam, more than the bubonic plague, rats on ships.
Oh, my God.
And also Thanos snapping his fingers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right. I killed Thanos. I did that. Not Thor. I did that.
Oh, God.
But they just let him go. Nobody stops him. I mean, that's what's amazing. John's in Swedesboro. John, good morning.
Rich, good morning. How are you? Listen, do you think that one of the other six would have looked at him and said, Joe, what are you talking about? This is half the friggin' country. Give me a break. Not one of them. They just let him ramble. They're just rambling on all night long.
I know. They just let him go. They figure it's just Joe. Let him go. Let him, you know. You're right, John. That's part of the remarkable thing of this entire thing. Thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Rich, one more thing. I'll tell you what, though. The one guy that scares me, now I've been a Trumper long before he came down the elevator, I was a Trump fan. But this guy Bernie, man, I don't know. He's got a lot of people going to follow him, and he gives me a little bit of a scare.
Well, he should terrify you, but I'm telling you, they won't let him get the nomination. There's too much to lose. They can't. They get whatever it takes to stop him. They'll do it. They have
well,
to.
Well, yeah, but then who's going to go up against Trump? Biden?
No, Bloomberg.
Bloomberg,
and then Trump's going to wipe the floor with him. That's what's going to happen. That's what I think is going to happen anyway. What's that?
Let's hope so.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you're not one of the 150 that's been killed, John. It's good that you survived. Thank you for that, John.
Thanks.
All right. You got it. Steve on Twitter, my buddy Steve, ham wrapped in bacon, says, I guess we should have invested in the body bag industry.
Steve.
It's true.
He's not wrong.
You'd be a multi-bajillionaire.
Right. Yeah, my wife and I started body bags. Who knew 150 million Americans would be killed between in 10 years thanks to guns?
It's unbelievable.
And now we're loaded.
What a statistic.
Half of us have been killed.
Yeah, I mean, we all know somebody, right? I mean, like a lot of people.
That means just on this show, there's four of us. Two of us have been killed.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, that was not even the craziest thing that was said last night. There were a lot of very crazy things last night that were said. But when Bernie Sanders got booed on several occasions last night, that was amazing. But this is Bernie getting booed when talking about guns. He got booed about billionaires. He got booed several times last night. But this is Bernie talking about guns. Cut eight.
I want to allow Senator Sanders to respond because you've gone after the insurance industry. You've taken on pharmaceutical companies, and you've taken on big tech.
And you killed 150 million Americans. And listen, Thanos Sanders, you killed half of us.
I mean, wouldn't that be the first question to Bernie?
But Nora, can I ask a follow-up here? Bernie, how does it feel to have killed half of America? On behalf of the 150 million people who are not here in the room tonight, because they're dead. How does it feel to have killed all of them?
Oh, my God.
Bernie, you are the greatest serial killer and mass murderer in the history of mankind.
Wow.
Literally, they had to invent a space monster and make him purple to do even close to what you achieved, Bernie. How does that feel, Senator Sanders? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Why did you vote repeatedly?
Why did you kill 150 million people, Bernie? I'm sorry, Dom, that's the only follow-up question. It's the only acceptable follow-up. Why did you vote to allow 150 million people to be killed?
But
she's not asking that question.
No,
I don't even know what the moderators were off the top. Not until Margaret Brennan came on. It was out of control.
Out of control, right?
And the thing, Joe Biden kept complaining, thus the Catholic community.
Greg's going to need an oxygen mask in a second.
Hear me, Avengers. I already killed half the population of America. And I'll do this to the rest of the universe. Hand me the Infinity Stones. Captain America.
I'm sorry. You see, when I tell you I sit in bed all day with the flu and I watch the Avengers movies, it's valuable show prep, Donna.
It is.
Valuable show prep.
This is the only, if you're Bridget, if you're listening.
I'm just doing my job. Senator, I'd like a follow-up. Do you have anything on your conscience about 150 billion Americans being killed by you? Like, how do you look at yourself in the mirror? Should we be worried? Are half of us going to be killed tonight by you?
Oh, my God.
I mean, really?
These are legit follow-ups.
Yes.
Dave Nemeth has a new shirt idea.
Oh, no.
Zioli Army Survivor. Like, oh, my God. All right. I have to just, yes.
I don't know what's a bigger... Like, is it worse that he said it, or is it worse that nobody called him out?
Right.
Good point.
Okay. Excellent question, Greg Sucker. So there's several things to think about now. What's worse, Joe Biden saying 150 million people have been killed by guns in 10 years, B, no one calling him out for it,
no,
and C, no moderator asking a follow-up of where he got that statistic.
Exactly.
Or D, Bernie Sanders not even bothering to refute it. That's the other thing, too. It amazes me. At no point did Bernie go, Nora, can I just set the record straight? I didn't kill 150 million Americans.
Please.
Can I feel like I need to clarify that. That's one of those things that I don't want my, people thinking about me. He doesn't even bother to do that.
Nope.
So that, the whole cacophony of that is just amazing to me. All right, let's hear the whole thing, the follow-up answer, please.
Why did you vote repeatedly to give gun manufacturers a pass?
Well, you know, Joe has voted for terrible trade agreements. No.
I'll kill you.
Do you want me to snap?
Oh,
don't
no.
make me snap.
Oh, no.
I'll snap my fingers.
Oh, God.
Okay, half of you are now dead. The half that booed. Watch this. Bernie, Thanos, Sanders. Boom.
Look, if I'm going to make you again another promise, right? I get accused of a lot of things being a hack, being a blowhard, all kinds of things, right? Someone accused me the other day of being a huckster, I believe, what I got on social media. All right. If anyone ever accuses me of murdering 150 million Americans, I'm going to take the time out of the show to settle your discomfort and clear my name. All right? Is that fair? That's fair, right?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yes.
First rule of debate prep. If someone accuses you of being a genocidal maniac, please refute them. Don't let that accusation stand. Now Scott and Tacone has a theory. This might help you, Dawn. Yes, Scott.
I don't know about a theory, just an observation. Roman numeral for 1,000 is M. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing some genius put 150 M as in Mary.
Right.
And Joe read the teleprompter or whatever his crib notes were, and it turned into million.
You see that now?
Oh,
that's
okay.
A very excellent theory, Scott. Excellent. You still think
just
they maybe should have...
Again, it's not a theory.
Right. It's an excellent observation, Scott. It's an excellent observation. How would you feel if you killed 150 million people? All right, Scott.
I want to roll. Keep going. Why not?
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Well, you're looking for... Here's the thing. Back to the wedding analogy. I think everybody on the stage with him is just kind of like, oh, well, Uncle Joe. But for the moderators, for, Gail mm-hmm. King or for Nora, who's the CBS News, evening anchor.
Right.
They needed to pull that back.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of needed to fact check that one.
All I could think about was it was so out of control with the two of them. All I could think of, what if Donald Trump were on this stage? He would have taken over.
Yeah.
Because there were no moderators. There was no control.
There was no control.
He would have completely dominated. He would have completely taken over. Did one of those candidates up on that stage last night take over like Trump would have?
No, and the chaos took over. Chaos reigned. And then the softball questions, too, from Gail King, which I got to get to. It's very obvious that she was backing Bloomberg last night. 855-839-1210. Weigh in on this, 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay, now, here's the thing. The other part of this debate that was so insane last night was Bernie going after billionaires and Bernie going after everybody, but refusing to go after Fidel Castro. So he goes after billionaires, but he does not go after Fidel Castro. And it's amazing. The reason why Bernie Sanders, they cannot let him become the nominee is because Bernie will bring down everybody. He brings the entire house down with him. This is Bernie now, cut 13.
You've praised the Chinese Communist Party for lifting more people out of extreme poverty than any other country. You also have a track record of expressing sympathy for socialist governments in Cuba and in Nicaragua. Can Americans trust that a democratic socialist president will not give authoritarians a free pass?
I have opposed authoritarianism all over the world, and I was really amazed at what Mayor Bloomberg just said a moment ago. He said that the Chinese government is responsive to the Politburo. But who the hell is the Politburo responsive to? Who elects the Politburo? You got a real dictatorship there? Of course you have a dictatorship in Cuba. What I said is what Barack Obama said in terms of Cuba, that Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think, really? Really?
Yes,
literacy
because there's
programs
no comparing
are bad.
Those two comments.
What Barack Obama
what Barack
said
Obama
is they made great progress
doors.
On education and health care. That was Barack Obama.
I talked to Barack Obama.
Excuse me. Occasionally,
I am Barack
it might
Obama.
Be a good idea to be honest about
I
America.
I created Barack Obama, and I did that.
Obama.
Now, let's understand a couple of points here, first of all. When Bernie talks about the literacy program, what he cannot understand here, what he refuses to fathom, is that this literacy issue is no defense of Fidel Castro. You cannot use a literacy program to defend one of the most brutal dictators the world's ever seen. It doesn't work. It doesn't level out. In the scheme of things, you can't balance literacy program and beating people, arresting them, and killing them for disagreeing with you. It doesn't weigh. And this is what Bernie cannot see. He goes on about this literacy program and he doubles down on it, he triples down on it, he quadruples down on it. And everybody's trying to say to him, listen, the literacy program does not justify anything about Fidel Castro just being there. And he doesn't see it. And I think if it, you took away nothing else from the debate last night between that and the fact that you got to take away that Bloomberg admitted to buying the seats in Congress that gave Pelosi the speakership, you got to take away the fact that Bernie Sanders, as the nominee, would wind up saying the exact same stupid stuff against Donald Trump. And this is why Democrats are so incredibly worried. Realize that his defending of Castro, in the big scheme of things, a literacy program does not justify Fidel Castro's existence. You know, if you would, Greg, do me a favor, start it over, please.
You've praised the Chinese Communist Party for lifting more people out of extreme poverty than any other country. You also have a track record of expressing sympathy for socialist governments in Cuba and in Nicaragua. Can Americans trust that a democratic socialist president will not give authoritarians a free pass?
I have opposed authoritarianism all over the world, and I was really amazed at what Mayor Bloomberg just said a moment ago. He said that the Chinese government is responsive to the Politburo. But who the hell is the Politburo responsive to? Who elects the Politburo? You got a real dictatorship there? Of course you have a dictatorship in Cuba. What I said is what Barack Obama said in terms of Cuba, that Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think, really? Really?
Yes, literacy
programs
no
are bad. What Barack Obama said is they made great progress on education.
Let's stop it right there. Let's stop it right there. See, Bernie cannot get this through his head. You cannot say they made great progress on education and think that that in some way, shape, or form justifies Fidel Castro. And that's what his colleagues on the stage are trying to get through to his thick head. Bernie, you have to stop saying a literacy program was one of the good things that came out of Fidel Castro. To use another Avengers Endgame analogy, after everybody's wiped out in Infinity War, Captain America makes his comment to Black Widow. He goes, you know, I was driving to work today and I saw a pod of whales going up the Hudson River. And I thought, you know, hey, river's cleaner. And she says, please, if you're trying to be an optimist right now, look on the bright side, please don't do it. And he goes, I know it's an occupational hazard or something like that, or habit or something. Point being, there's some things you just can't ever look at the bright side on. Fidel Castro is one of those things. You cannot look at the bright side of Fidel Castro. And Bernie doesn't get that, which is amazing to me because he's the front runner. And you see why people are terrified of him? All right, go ahead.
On education and health care. That was Barack Obama.
I talked to Barack Obama.
Excuse me. Occasionally, it might be good idea to be honest about American foreign policy. And that includes the fact that America has overthrown governments all over the world, in Chile, in Guatemala, in Iran. And when dictatorships, whether it is the Chinese or the Cubans, do something good, you acknowledge that. You don't have trade love letters
with
them.
This is 2020. We can't be reliving the Cold War.
Look, Barack Obama was abroad. He was in a town meeting. He did not in any way suggest that there was anything positive about the Cuban government. He acknowledged that they did increase life expectancy, but he went on and condemned the dictatorship. He went on and condemned the people who, in fact, had run that committee. He also made sure to make it clear. And by the way, I called to make sure that I was prepared to. I never say my private conversation.
What? Wait. What the hell did he just say? What was the last 10 seconds?
And by the way, I called to make sure that I was prepared to. I never say my private conversation. But.
And by the way, one more thing. Hang on. I'm not done with my toast. Hang on. I want one more thing. I said this to the and the people and then the supply chain. All right. And one more thing.
No more things. I mean,
drunk retirement, yes. Joe Biden. All right, keep going.
But the fact of the matter is, he, in fact, has never embraced an authoritarian regime and does not now. Okay. This man said that, in fact, he thought it was, he did not condemn what
that
they did.
That is untrue, categorically untrue.
What did you tell him?
I have condemned
this
authoritarianism, whether it is the people in Saudi Arabia that the United States government has loved for years, Cuba, Nicaragua. Authoritarianism of any stripe is bad. But that is different than saying that governments occasionally do things that are good.
He doesn't get it. Stop defending the freaking reading program. That was one of the most insane sections of the debate last night, by the way, that there. And it goes on. The insanity doesn't end there. It just goes on and on and on. But just a capsule for you of why the Democrats are so screwed.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you, Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, in a few minutes, I'll talk to President Trump's first press secretary, Sean Spicer, get his take on the debate last night. But I also want to get your take, of course. Greg is in Flowertown. Greg, good morning.
Hello, Rich. Hello, buddy. Oh, I have a couple questions last night. Who is next for the Democrats that they can possibly run out there? Because that was absolutely ridiculous. Nothing said on that stage could make anybody anywhere not even in the United States, in the world, want to vote for any of those people on that stage. It was like watching The View if you threw some Republican on there. It was a screaming match. I had to turn, usually I watch them, I had to turn it off and go back and forth, and I couldn't believe it.
I know.
Like, who's next for the Democrats?
Yeah, no, listen, man, you're exactly right. It was watching some sort of like a WWE SmackDown meets The View meets Jerry Springer. It was like all those things combined in one. It was amazing.
I was waiting for the bodyguards to come out and separate a couple of them. And who is Biden's handler sitting back there with? He must be right behind him, like every couple of minutes, with like a prod to shock him. And then he jumps up and says something you don't even understand. And then he dummies back down. Don't they understand that he cannot be out there? He can't go 1 minute, not even a minute, 30 seconds of anything that anybody can understand.
I know. It's true.
Donald Trump is roaring right now. Why? Anybody who was on Trump's side or on Trump is roaring because he doesn't have to say anything. Just hold back all the important stuff like Bloomberg and China and Warren and the money that she says she doesn't endorse and she's got backing. He would have to normally put this out already to plant the seed. He doesn't even have to. He can just lay back, take a break, play some golf, and just get ready to laugh when he gets on stage with one of these buffoons, because it is insane.
Yeah, no, he's not losing any sleep over this, Greg. Thanks for the call, bud. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Yeah, he's not losing any sleep over this. No way. No way. It was a disaster last night for them. Circular firing squad doesn't even cut it, by the way. Steve is in Oxford. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. You got to help me out because I can't figure this out. Three gigantic bombs that these people could be dropping on each other. The Pocahontas bomb on Warren, the Ukraine Hunter bomb on Biden, and the fantasy rape term paper on Sanders. None of these have been brought up. I don't get it.
Actually, you know what's interesting is that yesterday a Bloomberg spokesman brought up that very point about Bernie and also some other comments Bernie said, which are outrageous. So I think that the key thing here to remember is that whatever doesn't come up now is going to come up in the general election. So if it's out there on them, better to get it out now than to wait until the Trump campaign puts it out there in, say, October. Right? Oh, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It was a good point. And sorry you jumped off, but it was a very good point. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. But the key last night, one of the takeaways, if you take away nothing else, Michael Bloomberg admitting last night that he bought the seats that gave Nancy Pelosi the speakership. Mike Bloomberg confirming what I've always believed, which is that Nancy Pelosi impeached Donald Trump as payback to Mike Bloomberg. All right. Let's hear that answer. Cut five.
Let's just go on the record. They talked about 40 Democrats. 21 of those were people that I spent $100 million to help elect. All of the new Democrats that came in, put Nancy Pelosi in charge and gave the Congress the ability to control this president. I got them. Number two,
I bought them.
Put this in perspective. The federal budget is $4.5 trillion a year. We get $3.5 trillion in revenue. We lose $1 trillion a year. That's why the federal budget deficit is right now. The debt is a $20 trillion going up to 21. We just cannot afford some of the stuff people talk about. But let me finish. If you keep on going, we will elect Bernie. Bernie will lose to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump and the House and the Senate and some of the state houses will all go red. And then between gerrymandering and appointing judges for the next 20 or 30 years, we're going to live with this catastrophe.
Mayor Bloomberg, thank you.
Now, he's 100% right, by the way. This is why Democrats cannot afford to let Bernie Sanders be the nominee. You know, think about it from this perspective, right? Here it is. It's October. It's the debate. And Donald Trump's on stage with Bernie Sanders. And this is a great point on social media, by the way. Thanks to Cherry Hill Vavo for this check-in on social media, which is a great point that was made by Lego, our buddy Lego. Great point regarding Trump debating Bernie during the general. President Trump, quote, I'd like to relinquish my response time to Bernie so that he may tell us more about the human angel Fidel Castro. Go ahead. It's true. Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter, by the way. Thank you for that check-in on social media. It's so true. The president would just turn around and go, you know what, Bernie, tell us more about your buddy Castro. Tell us more about him. Because Bernie's too stupid to understand that a literacy program and whatever other good things might have occurred in these countries under these dictators doesn't justify their existence. But the truth is, this is not the first time Bernie has praised these kind of things. Years ago, Bernie Sanders actually praised food lines, bread lines in the Soviet Union. That's right, he did. Take a listen.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
See, it's a good thing. Line up for food. Bernie's lines. You see, he justifies the horrors of communism because at the end of the day, he loves the ultimate reward of those policies. That's the truth. That's why he can't criticize these dictators, because deep down inside, he likes the results of what they've achieved. He just wants to be a kinder, gentler dictator, even though he's responsible for the deaths of 150 million people, which is more than all the deaths of communism combined, by the way. I want to make that point very clear. Bernie Thanos Sanders has killed more people than Stalin and everybody else in communism combined.
Wow.
It's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. Wow.
Once again, if you're just joining us, drunk Uncle Joe Biden, retirement Uncle Joe Biden, making the accusation that Bernie Sanders has killed all these people.
Drug companies. We give immunity to tobacco companies. That has caused carnage on our streets. 150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability.
With more this than vote all today, I know half of America will be killed, but it's the right thing to do so that people can eat. Bernie Thanos Sanders.
That's a terrible, terrible thing, by the way. Well, you remember Thanos, what did he say to Gamora, right? His daughter? He says, this is when now there's balance in the universe.
Yes.
Nobody has to wait to eat.
It's like disease. It's non-discriminatory.
Non-discriminatory. Yes. Now there's plenty of food. Nobody goes starving. That's Bernie defending the bread lines, Castro, and then, of course, murdering 150 million people.
I mean, he could win the presidency because he'll just kill everybody who doesn't.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all what he'll do.
My message is simple. Vote for Bernie or you're dead.
Let me ask this question now. The question, of course, of the Manny, Michael Bloomberg. And I know that I have said that I think he's going to be the nominee, and I do. And I think he will because of what he just said. He bought those seats in Congress. He admitted to that, which confirms my theory that I've been saying all along, which is that Nancy Pelosi impeached Donald Trump to pay back Michael Bloomberg so that Michael Bloomberg could then clear the way to become the nominee, get Joe Biden out of the way. And I'm sure the vampiric one knew that Joe Biden had baggage. So when Mike Bloomberg bought the seats and gave her the speakership, I'm sure she knew that this Ukraine stuff was out there and would kill him. So she brought it up. It killed him, right? President Trump's fine. Joe Biden is on life support. And that was payback to Michael Bloomberg. He admitted as much when he says, I bought those seats. So if he is the nominee, how will he do? I think he would be the worst president because he's a manny. He's the man nanny. He's a manny. And he talks about that. They asked the questions about him. The trans fats and sugary drink ban cut 10B.
Mayor Bloomberg, as mayor of New York, you declared war on obesity. You banned trans fats from restaurants, and you tried to do the same with large sugary drinks. So if you become president, will you push those policies on the national level as well?
Well, I think what's right for New York City isn't necessarily right for all the other cities. Otherwise, you'd have a naked cowboy in every city. So let's get serious here. But I do think it's the government's job to have good science and to...
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Oh, God.
Oh, is this thing on? Oh. Shecky Bloomberg. He killed with that naked cowboy joke, did he not? Killed.
Hickory dickory stop.
The Hickory Dickory Dock. The naked cowboy was, oh, I'm Andrew Dice Bloomberg. I'll be here all week. Unbelievable.
Wow.
That was bad.
I think what's right for New York City isn't necessarily right for all the other cities. Otherwise, you'd have a naked cowboy in every city. So let's get serious here.
Do me a favor, Greg. I know that we never in radio want to have silence. But I think this is one of those times where we have to break the rules. If you would just be kind enough to just stop it, and then we'll all just be quiet for a second and let that sink in.
I think what's right for New York City isn't necessarily right for all the other cities. Otherwise, you'd have a naked cowboy in every city.
Mm-hmm. Well, that joke went over well. All right, then. Hey, I'll be here all week. Yo, it's me, Mikey Bloomberg.
Little Miss Muffet.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet.
No, we don't need to go down the
with dirty. The naked cowboy. Oh! He's like Mike Baldini.
Well, no.
Mike Bloomberg,
Mike,
right?
Mike has some decent jokes, right?
Mike is actually funny and entertaining, especially when he kicks up his legs like a gymnast or something. Yeah,
nobody knows what we're talking about.
Oh, sorry.
At Parks Casino at the Comedy Club.
Thank you.
Hey, how you doing tonight, huh? Listen, it's like that naked cowboy. Oh! That was awful. And you know that he practiced that? It was scripted, right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
After the debate was over last night, the panel just roasted him on, was it CNN or MSNBC?
It was MSNBC.
MSNBC
was
roasting him on that. It's rare times that I agree with MSNBC crazy Lawrence O'Donnell, crazy Larry, stop the hammering, Larry O'Donnell. But this is one of those times.
This debate will forever be known as the naked cowboy debate.
Yeah.
Can you explain to the viewers?
Yeah. Well, I have no idea.
By the way, stop it. That's Dawn's laugh, by the way.
Sorry.
That was Dawn, not the panel's laugh.
I thought my mic.
No, good. Keep it on. Keep it on. Up. That was wonderful. That was a great reaction. I just wanted to clarify that that was you laughing. The naked cowboy debate.
Which is such a New York thing, because he's a guy actually on Times Square. He wears white.
Oh, they explain it. This is what's amazing is now Brian Williams begins to explain the naked cowboy.
Was he once the naked cowboy?
Well, he was there. He was the first naked cowboy. Go ahead.
This debate will forever be known as the naked cowboy debate.
I guess. Can you explain to the viewers?
Yeah. Well,
they
have no idea.
Thank you.
They have no idea. Mike Bloomberg did a trending joke about the naked cowboy, which is a character that you'll see wandering around Times Square. And as a service to the viewers, I retweeted a picture of the naked cowboy.
Thank you.
So you can all go
can we emphasize, because some kids are still up, he's wearing...
He does have
underpants.
Underwear.
Tidy whitey.
Actually says naked cowboy on the other. But this was Mike Bloomberg's attempt at a joke. There were several flat deliveries.
Let me explain what's happening. After the 150 million Americans were killed, most of them were comedians. And the only people left were Mike Bloomberg, Brian Williams, and Lawrence O'Donnell. This is the problem. It's why in Avengers Endgame, they didn't have the Mets anymore. This is the reason. Most of the comedians were killed in Bernie Snap. Oh, man. I mean, it's bad. But let's continue with Bloomberg's answer, because remember, he's the Manny. He banned those beverages. Would he do it to America? Take a listen.
You think it's the government's job to have good science and to explain to people what science says, how to take care of themselves and extend their lives. We are a country where there are too many people that are obese. We should do something about that. But just take a look at what happened with smoking. We did ban smoking in New York City in public places, restaurants, offices, and that sort of thing. And it has spread across America, across Europe, across Latin America, even into places in the Middle East and into the Far East. It has saved an enormous number of lives. So it just goes to show, if you have good public health, then you can do things. And one of the great problems today, you read about the virus. What's really happening here is the president fired the pandemic specialists in this country 2 years ago. So there's nobody here to figure out what the hell we should be doing. And he's defunded Centers for Disease Control, CDC, so we don't have the organization we need. This is a very serious thing. As you see, the stock market's falling apart because people are really worried, and they should be. We don't have anybody to respond.
Stop. Before you continue with this, I want to set this up. This is a very, very tough-hitting, hard-hitting follow-up question by Gayle King, okay? And I almost fell out of my chair. This is one of those, I believe Rush would call it a moment of real journalism. I forget the exact term that Rush uses. I think spontaneous journalism or something like that. Well, either way, this is one of those moments here. Bravo to Gayle King for calling out Michael Bloomberg on that outrageous allegation that this pandemic is spreading because Donald Trump got rid of the researchers.
This is a very serious thing. As you see, the stock market's falling apart because people are really worried, and they should be. We don't have anybody to respond.
We're going to talk about that in our next segment. Before I leave you, are New Yorkers living longer because of your policies?
There's no question about that. Before I left, life expectancy in New York City had grown by 3 years during our 12 years in office, such that when I left, it was 3 years greater than the national average.
All right.
You get him, Gayle King. Boom! Boom! How did Bloomberg survive that tough follow-up question?
Are they living? Tell us how it works.
Tell us how wonderful things are because of your policies, Mayor Bloomberg.
Wow.
Did you hear Birdie when he interrupted that? You couldn't hear that, but he went, "That I had to kill them after
They're living longer, but they can't escape Bernie Thanos Sanders with my snap."
I mean... The takeaway from today, I think, is, you know, I know people have ill feelings against Bernie, but I mean, the poor guy was accused of killing 150 million people.
He was accused last night of being a genocidal maniac.
Nobody stepped in, including him.
Nobody. Gayle King followed up to ask Michael Bloomberg if people were living longer. That was her tough question. That was her tough moderator follow-up, Dawn. But are people living longer?
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes.
Yeah, it was... I was kind of shocked. It was.
I know you
really,
like her.
I do, and she's a very nice. She's a very nice person.
Yes.
There were some just from an anchor at it, like off the top. She had no prompter or something happened. There were technical problems. It was not a good night for Gayle and Nora.
No.
And then at the end, if you saw, they were like, Nora was like, "Well, that's it for the." And Gayle goes, "No, Nora, we have one more." You know. So
and that's what I tweeted out at that very moment. I said. Please, Nora. Mercy, Nora. Yes. Mercy. Make it stop. Uncle.
So it was not a good night for them at all. It was a good night, though, for Margaret Brennan. I thought she was shining.
Yeah, she was solid last night. She was.
She took over.
That's why she has the Sunday political show, and Nora is the 6:30, and Gayle does the wacky CBS morning show
with who? The other guy?
The other guy. Yeah, it used to be Gayle, Nora, and the other guy, but I don't even know who's on there now.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, let me go right to Donald Trump's first press secretary, Sean Spicer. Sean, welcome back to the show. And, I mean, what a night, huh?
Wow. Rich, I mean, that was kind of a... Like, I felt like I actually should have to pay to watch that thing. It was such a great night of infighting in the Democratic Party. So I normally am not a big fan of spending my nights watching Democrats debate, but that was certainly worth it.
Yeah, that was something. And I'll tell you something else, too, Sean. You know, you were at the RNC, obviously, before you went to the White House. And after these vicious primaries, it's tough pulling the party together. I don't know how Democrats do it after this. They've torn each other apart. The circular firing squad and their supporters, they must all hate each other at this point.
Well, you heard Klobuchar and a couple of them saying, "Guys, if we don't stop doing this, we're going to..." And they're right. I mean, I think the common sense ones get it, but this is amazing. And I also think that they recognize, at least a few of them, that, you know, what a Bernie Sanders nomination means. It is literally the embodiment of trying to explain, not just for wanting to be president, but how does everyone down ballot talk about wanting to, you know, have a self-avowed socialist as their nominee.
You know, Bloomberg made a point last night. He said that they're going to lose. They'll lose down ballot all the way down to the state houses. And then he brought up redistricting. And I thought, Democrats cannot afford to lose in 2020 when the Republicans will be able to rewrite the maps. I mean, it'll be an epic disaster for them.
No, that's actually, I mean, very few people get that. It's sort of like when you campaign for president, you're talking about judicial nominations. I don't think it resonates with a lot of people except the base. And, you know, it's an interesting observation. I don't know how many people on the Democratic side really care. They should care, and I think it's a really important point for them, for all of us. But, I just don't know that they're going to matter because I don't think that – I think Bloomberg is making a very pragmatic case, and that's, you know, Democrats tend to vote from their gut, which is I just want to win. I want this movement, and it's literally devoid of whether or not that's a winning prospect.
Sean, you got a new show coming out on Newsmax TV. Congratulations for that. Spicer and Company. It's going to be based out of D.C. It premieres Tuesday, March 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a daily show Monday through Friday. What can we look forward to on the show?
Thank you for that. If people are interested too, if they go to SeanSpicer.com, they can sign up and we'll let them know where to find it and who the guests are and stuff. But basically, what I want to do is what you do every morning is have a conversation with folks and not read the news, but discuss the news, talk about what the really interesting points. I mean, the point that you just made about redistricting and why it's important. It went over a lot of people's heads last night on the Democratic side, but explaining to and having a discussion with important people, subject matter experts about what the news means to their lives and having a conversation and a discussion almost like you would around a dinner table at 6 o'clock every night, I think is a much more interesting way than just sitting there and listening to someone read the news at 6 o'clock.
Now, Sean, you and I both know Donald Trump quite well. And we were there in the early days for him. I think the president on the debate stage this fall, he tears apart anybody that they put up that was on that stage last night. I mean, there's no one on that stage I saw who will be able to go against Donald Trump because he would just, in my mind, it's like a chew toy, like a dog with a chew toy, especially if it's Bernie, he's going to let him praise his buddy Castro. If it's Bloomberg, he's going to, I mean, he's going to just make fun of the guy's height the entire time. Do you see anyone on that stage who can give Trump a run for his money?
I'm just running through the list in my head. No. I mean, if you go down the list last night, I mean, Biden's office game, there's no question about it. Bloomberg was trying to be fake funny. He clearly can't debate. The money, I think he buys everything, and people laugh at his joke privately because he pays him a ton of money. But that was not...
How bad was that?
One after another, I felt like, you know, you needed someone with like the, you know how like you hear like dun dun, like behind him because he was telling these jokes and I'm like, oh my god, that's who did people laugh in debate breath because that's not funny. You're right. I mean, you're on the list and I feel like him standing against Pete Buttigieg would you know just look awkward because it would be like you know Buttigieg would just imagery wise looks like you know he's 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, like Trump adopted him or something.
Right. So I think I don't see anybody up there that can go toe to toe with him.
But how uncomfortable, by the way, was that naked cowboy joke by Bloomberg last night?
It was funny. I got up this morning and I was telling my wife, I said, you know, Bloomberg like just was trying to tell jokes and he couldn't. She's like, give me an example. And I said, he started saying, like, we don't need a naked cowboy in every city. And I'm like, first of all, like, it's not, but even if the delivery was bad, but also, like, I don't know that everybody knows that there's this naked cowboy that kind of hangs out in Times Square and you take pictures with him. But I also don't think it's that funny. I mean,
right.
And it was such an awkward segue because he was trying to talk about how the big gut that his policies of outlawing like big gulps wouldn't necessarily apply. And he said, you know, the laws of New York City. And first of all, I was like, did the New York City folks really want that in the first place? Like, you're bringing up a horrible policy that got rejected and panned nationally, and then talking about how you don't want to naked. It was just literally horrible on every front.
You know, you just made the point about that somebody laugh in debate prep, and you and I, we've both done debate prep. You're not supposed to fake laugh in debate prep. That's like rule number one of debate prep.
Well, I think that, like, also, but when you're getting paid the amount of money that he's paying people, they're just like, that's a great joke, sir. Another great one.
Oh, you're killing it tonight, boss.
Keep them coming. And I think that the problem was is that he was so bad in the Nevada debate that he came out and he thought they were like, you know, here's how we're going to do this. And I think that he's one of these people that probably thinks he knows better and was like, you know what I need to do? I need to tell a few jokes.
Right. Oh, man.
And it's like, no, you that wasn't the problem. People don't tune into to political debates to be entertained by joke-telling. You know, it's not like there's a warm-up act that comes out before the debate. It says, all right, we've got the undercard. Everyone running for mayor, get up here and, you know, tell us a knock-knock joke.
Right, right. And don't forget to tip your waitresses on the way out, folks, all right? You know, oh, and waiters, too. We're gender neutral here. Yeah, I mean, like, come on. It's bad, yeah, really bad.
No, it was, I thought to myself, I felt a lot better last night. You know, just, you always get a little nervous. Now, that doesn't mean that we can take our foot off the pedal. I mean, look, I think, especially where you are, Pennsylvania is going to be ground zero. And what we saw last cycle, and this is where people have got to remember, yes, we did a good job, but we won Pennsylvania last time by 0.4%.
Right.
Like 40-something thousand votes. That's nothing. And so people in the Philly suburbs and wherever have to say, like, look, if you think that this president's done a good job and the country's moving forward and policies have made improved our lives and our communities, then we need to go out and engage because the Democrats get it. And they ran through Pennsylvania big time last year, especially on the west side of the state where we tend to do a little bit better. So I keep telling everyone, look, you must engage. If you believe that the policies are better and that the country is better, then go out there and have those conversations and put up the signs, knock on people's doors, call them, because we now have a big choice. Either the country's making improvements, veterans are getting the benefits, the economy's improving, et cetera, or we're going to move towards a socialist country. And that's what they're all talking about, Medicare for all, education for all, Showtime for all, you know, all cable channels for all.
Right.
Netflix channel. I mean, like,
hey, Newsmax for all. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Newsmax. Right? I mean, it's free if you if you have cable, you can get Newsmax.
Help a brother out here, right? You know,
right. But anyway, I think that we've got a very big binary choice coming, and this election is consequential in terms of the direction that our country's going to go for generations. So I think that Donald Trump has sort of created a very strong narrative between what he's done policy-wise, the judges they appointed, the foreign policy, And we've got to get people to say, okay, go out there and make sure your neighbor and your uncles and cousins and you know, everyone else gets it, coworkers.
It's like we always say, Sean, there's only two ways to run, scared or unopposed.
That's right. But I think last time, last cycle in the midterms, a lot of folks were told, oh, well, don't worry, you've got a safe district.
Yeah.
And you think about, you know, all these folks in Texas that we lost. So it's just, anyway, you're right. We've got to get people to understand you got to run scared.
Listen, congrats on the new show. Premieres Tuesday, March 3rd, 6 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax, Spicer and Company. Sean, we'll talk to you again as the election goes on, my friend. And thanks for making the trip back to the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Boom. All right. Look, I got it. We're going to get to news. Don't worry. I didn't forget. We're going to do it. But I just got it. I got to do this mashup of junk retirement, Uncle Joe Biden, before the nonstop hour of talk ends. It's very, very crucial to the show. Do we have something, Greg, we can work with here?
Of
what
course,
do we got?
Of course.
All right. Here we go. Now, the running theory on the show has been Joe Biden is the guy at the retirement party that knows that he's being forced out and he's very uncomfortable with this and he doesn't like it. So he's taking credit for everything.
Everything.
He's taking credit for everything that's ever happened.
He did it.
Here we go.
I was part of making sure that pandemic did not get to the United States.
That
I wrote
bill?
That law.
Bill.
I wrote the bill, the Violence Against Women Act. I talked to Barack Obama.
Excuse me.
I helped set up that office in the presidency, in the president's office. I could get that done. No one up here has ever dealt internationally with any of these world leaders. I'm the only one that has.
I introduced the first assault weapons ban. I, in fact, got it passed. I'm the only guy that beat the NRA twice. While I was pushing the Brady background bill check, background checks, Bernie voted five times against it when he was in the House. I'm the guy that set up drug courts. I set them up. I wrote it into law. Also on opioids, I'm the guy who's already begun to make a down payment. In the Cures Act, I put in $1 billion to fight opioid addiction.
Wow.
I did that. And you, listen, they can make John the district manager, but he's never going to do as good as me. All right, I did that. I got the salesman of the.
No.
Sorry, salesman of the year. I did that.
Somebody please get the hook.
You millennials, I got the new copier for the break.
It's a sin.
Is that amazing? Come on, it's amazing. I was George Washington. I did the Emancipation Proclamation. I freed the slaves. I did that. I wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. I did that. Lincoln? What's that, Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Do we need to get a bucket?
And Bernie killed 150 million people.
He did.
And why doesn't anybody talk about that?
Well, because it's not true, sir.
They killed 150 million people. That's you? You're dead? We're all dead?
Everybody's dead.
Oh, come on. I spilled my drink. Damn you! What is this, a freaking gold watch? I did that! I cured Ebola! I think the Ebola one might be my favorite, by the way. That might be my favorite.
He helped with the Ebola czar, right? Didn't there was a...
I love this. I love when Dawn does this. Go ahead.
We reached a turning point today with the CDC, warning schools that they missed prepare, that they might have to close. Members of the Trump administration saying we don't have enough medical masks if necessary. What would you do?
What we did with Ebola, I was part of making sure that pandemic did not get to the United States, saved millions of lives.
You saw the movie Outbreak. That was based on me. Me. I did that. Now, but I think the best is when he interrupts Amy Klobuchar.
Yes.
That might be the best Bidenism, the best retirement drunk Uncle Joe Biden ever. She's in the middle of talking and he just jumps right in.
The way we do it is having someone leading the ticket from a part of the country that we actually need the votes. So I have long supported the assault weapon ban. I am the author of the bill to close the boyfriend loophole that says that domestic abusers can't go out and get an AK-47.
I wrote that bill
along with... You didn't write that bill.
I wrote that bill. I wrote the bill, the Violence Against Women Act,
that
out of the hands of people who abused her.
We'll have a fact check.
Let's look at the fact check.
Goodness.
The only thing that the boyfriend loophole was not covered. I couldn't get that covered. You, in fact, when you were as a senator, tried to get it covered, and Mitch McConnell is holding up on his desk right now, and we're going to lose the Violence Against Women Act across the board.
Okay, so if I could finish.
I did that.
No, he did do the Violence Against Women Act.
No, I did that.
But it had the loophole.
No, but I did. But you couldn't get past it. So you did that.
Gosh.
You did that. But you go only because you couldn't get past it. Will somebody get me more ice? I can use more ice, please.
Water down those drinks a little bit.
He winds up admitting to Amy Klobuchar, yes, she did the bill, right?
Well, it was the Violence Against Women Act, but it had these loopholes. So she's the one who closed the loopholes that, like, a stalker or, you know.
Right.
You
stalker,
had, like,
not a stalker.
Order.
Right.
Right. Stalker. Yes,
right.
Stalker.
Just clarifying.
Not stalker.
But you did the bill, but you left out stalkers. Stalker loopholes.
No.
I did that.
No.
All right?
Stalker.
I'm the only one on the stage who closed the stalker loophole.
No,
all right? And I'm going to tell you about Chestnut Hill College. I invented that college. I did that.
It's a great.
I created Chestnut Hill College. And
oh, boy. Oh, no.
Most of that's the Sisters of St. Joseph.
Chestnut Hill College loves this library, by the way. They're a huge fan of the show.
They should love it,
yes,
right? 100%. They should love it. Let's talk about cybersecurity.
No,
I was vice president. I invented the computer.
This is drunk Uncle Joe. This is not Joe Biden.
Endorsing Chestnut Hill College.
Yes.
I invented the computer. Not Bill Gates. I did. But Steve Jobs did not.
It's Jobs.
Let me tell you something. I said to Apple, call it Apple.
Wow.
Then they had cybersecurity because Mitch McConnell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.